19 minutes after 4 on Downtown. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole on the Pulse, WZON, and WKIT HD3. Oh, yeah, easy living. That's, I don't know. Does that apply to our next guest on the show? Living the good life in California and writing about Boston sports. That sounds pretty good to me, Rich Levine. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, days like this, you know, it's the time of year when I actually take a second and I'll check in on the weather in Boston just when I need a little pick me up, and just take a deep breath and enjoy it. But yeah, I would say easy, warmer.
Warmer, living, yes. No, not easy because you're a hardworking guy. And before we talk about the Patriots, I want to share evidence of your work ethic on some phenomenal research and what made for a really enjoyable read, perhaps debunking, perhaps myth-busting, one of the great NBA trash talk stories of all time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I think it was last March or something. Larry Bird did an interview with ESPN. I think he was doing it with the Pacers reporter or someone out in Indiana. And at some point over the course of the interview, he told some story about, you know, they were talking about trash talking and how the Celtics in the 80s were some of the best trash talkers. And Bird told a story about how Kevin McHale and how he put it. He said how he did one of the worst things that Bird had ever seen on a basketball court, which was essentially it was at the end of a game against Golden State. The Celtics were up big, and I think they were basically getting ready to clear the benches. And the Warriors, before the Celtics starters left, some guy came into the game who was an old friend of Kevin McHale from college. And when it happened, McHale went up to the guy and said, "Hey, listen, you know, when you get the ball, I'll pretend to guard you. You just, you know, this is a guy who's like just trying to make it in the league and, you know, needs to impress the coach." And he said, "Hey, just I'll pretend to play defense. You just take a shot and I'll let it happen." So, you know, they fast forward to play later. McHale's guarding his buddy in the post. He gets the ball. The dude turns around and shoots it, and McHale just, like, swats it into the stand. Just demoralizes the guy in front of everyone and starts laughing. And that was the thing that that Bird had said. He said, "It was the worst thing I'd ever seen." It's like, you don't do that to a friend. So then this was in March, and at the time I remember reading it and being like, oh, like, I wonder who that guy was. You know, he didn't mention McHale's friend by name. So I basically did a little research and I couldn't figure it out. I was just like it didn't line up. Like there was no, former college teammate of McHale's that also played for the Warriors. And at the time, like I'm sure I had like a million other things I was supposed to be doing. So I just kind of left it. But then now for Comcast, we're doing this weekly, thing on the 86 Celtics, and it's sort of leading up, you know, by the end of the season, we have something really, really cool planned. This is all just sort of like a preemptive, build up. And we're doing a section on the 86 Celtics and trash talking. So I had the idea, oh, let's figure out who this guy was that McHale embarrassed, and kind of led me down a rabbit hole. And it's a fun story. You know, I ended up talking to Randy, to a couple of old NBA players, and everyone should definitely check it out. It was a lot of fun to write and research.
Well, it was a lot of fun to go on the adventure reading it, and you had to follow up on a lot of leads to get to the trail, and
yeah.
Then. We'll let people discover for themselves how it ends. But
you'd be surprised how accessible like old NBA players are.
Well,
it's kind of weird because it's like one of the guys got Randy Brewer, who I don't know if people maybe heard of, who's 7'3", a giant dude who played. He's not the guy, but he played at Minnesota with McHale, and you know it's like one of these things. Like I'm like, oh, like I wonder what Randy Brewer's opinion or perspective on this situation is, and you literally just Google Randy Brewer, and it comes. It's a little scary, but like. You know, there's like, three or four websites that have Randy Brewer's home address or home phone. I just call them at home. And they're really, I think at this point, like, the guys are, they enjoy, reminiscing about the good old days. And so it was a lot of fun.
Well, it was fun to read. Great job on that. Now, as far as this current group of Celtics goes, a tough loss last night. Times they'll get on a nice roll and look good. At other times they struggle sometimes. Play down to the level of their competition. What is this team missing?
What are they missing? Well, I mean, I guess obviously, they're missing everyone says this, but they're missing kind of like the go-to guy. And Isaiah Thomas, I think, he can score points like a go-to guy, but he's not going to, if Isaiah Thomas is your leading scorer, you're not going to go very far in the playoffs. And that's, I don't mean that as a knock on Isaiah, but like, you know, we've seen it in big games. Like we saw it last year in the playoffs where, you know, the Cavs could just put like Iman Shumpert, you know, a much taller guy who can like move with him and just kind of take Isaiah out of the game offensively. And I think there's that Warriors game earlier this year in Boston was one of Isaiah's worst games as well, and that's because they had Sean Livingston. So, like, there are ways to neutralize him when it comes down to, like, you know, a must-win game. And then, obviously, you know, defensively, he becomes sort of a liability. But, so, yeah, I mean, like ideally, you know, I'm not saying that Paul George isn't available, but for me, like, a guy like Paul George, like a 3-4 guy who has some range, who can play multiple positions and guard multiple positions, that would be, you know, first and foremost, you know, if you could choose one thing. Obviously, if it'd be nice to get a center, you know, and I mean, Amir Johnson's been great, but sort of, you know, like a Hassan Whiteside kind of guy. And obviously, this is all, you know, very idealistic, but that would, for me, that would be like a dominant defensive center and, you know, that go-to wing, I think, is what's holding them back right now.
We're talking with Rich Levine, Comcast Sportsnet New England. All right, let's move to the AFC Championship game Sunday. Patriots and the Denver Broncos. Obviously, build, because it's the easy thing to focus on, as Brady versus Manning. But could you make a case that in this game, at least, Peyton Manning might be about as irrelevant as a starting quarterback in a big game could be?
Yeah, you know, and again, right, like you said, as irrelevant as could be, because, you know, and I've thought about that, because I think there is something to that idea, but at the same time, it's like, okay, like, Peyton is going to have to make some plays for the Broncos to win. Who knows, right? I mean, I guess the Broncos have a kind of defense, and we saw something like, you know, the Philly game that the Patriots lost earlier in the year, where, you know, you could have been playing quarterback for the Eagles, and between the special teams plays and all the insanity, like, it maybe wouldn't have made a difference. But, you know, he is irrelevant, and certainly in the context of what we've come to expect from, like, the Brady-Manning rivalry over the years. But, like I said, I think that if he can't make plays, and he didn't really make plays in that Pittsburgh game, but if there's a situation where, you know, Belichick and Patricia can just go in and be, okay, we're going to stack the line. We're going to make it so you cannot run the ball, right? We're going to make you throw those sort of outs where, you know, a guy like Peyton, who literally doesn't seem like he can throw anymore, certainly can't throw a spiral and doesn't have the velocity to sort of connect the way he used to on those, you know, when he has to throw sort of, you know, anywhere but like straight ahead. If he can't step up and do that, I mean, I just don't know. I don't see how the Broncos can win.
Is the biggest matchup of the game this Julian Edelman, Chris Harris pairing as far as shutting down the Patriot offense?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, the Patriots struggled with Edelman was injured, and then you see him, you know, come out, and it's funny. Everyone talked about, oh, is he going to be rusty, or him and Brady going to, you know, have to get back in rhythm. But, I mean, those guys, like I said, you saw it. I think it was the first game of the season, you know, after 8 months off. I think Edelman, like, caught 11 balls on 12 targets or something ridiculous. I mean, they're just in sync. And is it number one? Sure. I mean, I think that's probably fair, because if you can take away Edelman, you are essentially, you know, bringing the Patriots offense back to what it was over the last month or so of the season, which was, you know, not great. And then when you add in the Denver defense, you know, on top of that, you know, that would be a tough situation. I mean, I think obviously Gronk and Ward will be an interesting matchup. And I guess if you flip it around, you know, like you said about Peyton, it's hard to really to look at Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. And, like, obviously these are, like, really talented guys, but, like, the fear just isn't quite there as much when you know who is throwing them the ball right.
Do you think it makes much difference at all that this game is in Denver and not in Foxborough?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that, like, especially Denver of all places, when you have, like, the altitude and everything, I think that is, and it's one of those things that, like, people talk about it so much that you kind of think, oh, maybe it's overplayed. But from what you hear, just, you know, any player talking about it, I think it's real. You know, that is an issue. I think it's a big deal in the sense that if this game was in Foxborough, I mean, I don't know you know, everyone would already have their flights booked for Santa Clara. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that it gives the Broncos a much more fighting chance. It creates a scenario with maybe the refs get overwhelmed in certain situations. Maybe, you know, there's just that sort of, and it's a great stadium too. You know, the fans will be nuts. So I think as much as a home crowd can turn a game and alter things, I think that's there. Whereas, you know, if the Patriots had just won that Dolphins game, right? Or the Eagles game, or any number of those one losses. And you were in Gillette this week. Like I said, I think as little as people are stressing now, which is a little bit worrisome how confident everyone is, but if it was in Foxborough, I mean, I think the Patriots would probably be favored by, you know, 6.5, 7 points.
Man, what could that altitude do to the PSI of those footballs? I don't even want to think about that.
Well, so yeah, so so you're obviously, we're rooting for them not to release that information, because the only way they're going to release it is if it's detrimental to the Patriots,
of course,
right?
Absolutely. We know that. But if we know one thing, we know that for sure. Hey, Rich, it's great talking with you, as always. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Will do, Rich. Take care.
That's Rich Levine, Comcast SportsNet New England.